Lift up now thy eyes. Genesis chapter 13, verses 14 to 18. The lifting up of the eyes to heaven is but a movement away, a simple physical gesture, and yet it brings with it great significance to the people of God, whether we are looking up to Him or we are looking down to earth and to ourselves and to our own wisdom. Well, the Lord was gracious to be so close and so nigh to His people. Abram, the man that is called of God to come 1,200 kilometers all the way from the Ur of the Chaldees to the land of Canaan. Where is the Ur of the Chaldees? Well, it is the place where the Babylonians live. The original city, or the center of it, Babel. It was the place where men rebelled against God. There were great idolatry in the land of Chaldees, in Babylon. And God had called Abram to come out of the idolatry, come out to be separated, to be a separated people unto God. And God has, by His mercy, led him out to this good land that he has traveled to inherit. And as we think about the life of God's people, you would realize that our lives hinges very much upon our relationship with our God. And you would see that whenever the people of God is lifting up their eyes to the will of God, to the way of God, to the purpose of God, there will be peace and there will be great stability in their lives. You would notice our text tells us in verse 14 of Genesis chapter 13, after Lot was separated from Abram, what happened? Lot had gone away. His eyes have been lifted to see the treasures of this earth, the treasures of this life. He is being lifted, sidestepped, sidetracked to the things of this world, what the world had to offer. But you will notice the contrast that God draw nigh to Abram to ask him to lift up his eyes to see the plan of God, the purpose of God for his people. Why is it so important that Abram would lift up his eyes to God and to his purpose and to his will? Because God has a plan for him to be the progenitor of a married of men and women who would be called the people of faith, the people of God. It is described in the Word of God that Abram was someone who followed and walked with God. And in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, it is described for us the man Abraham. How this man Abraham, verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, but of as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance of the law be of the law, it is more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. What did God say to Abraham at this point in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 14? Look, lift up now thy eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. What is it that God asked him to see? God has brought him to a place that is in the center of Canaan. And he was on a high ground, and he was able to see that this land that he would see all around him would be a land that God would give to him by faith. And you see a great difference here, that Abraham did not seek to possess any land, but that this land was of God's will, that he would possess it. How important it is that the people of God would be submitted to the will of God, to walk with him and to follow him. And God's promise to him was a promise that he would not be able to recognize in his lifetime. God said to him that this land that is before you would be in the possessions of your descendants forever. For all the land, verse 15 says, which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. God says that you are given this land, but he did not possess the land. In fact, the only land that he possessed was the burying place that he bought to bury later on his deceased wife, Sarah. What was God saying to him? Well, he was following the will of God, obeying the known will of God, walking with God step by step. Although he may not understand what God was doing in his life, God was only revealing to him step by step what he was doing. And what Abraham needed to do was to obey God, walk with him step by step. And this is the life of faith for the people of God. You would notice that Lot has sidestepped. He has sidestepped himself because he was taken up by the prophet of this world. He was taken up because he wanted to have, well, he was captivated by the lust of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. And you notice we spoke before how Lot fell into that state. When he went down to Egypt, how did they go down to Egypt? Well, because there was a famine. And there, Abraham did not trust God, but went there, and there was a great famine, and they went down to Egypt, and there he saw the world, as it were, in Egypt. And how important it is that the people of God would choose to walk with God according to His ways, according to His commandments, without seeking by our own wisdom to know how we ought to walk. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. The prophet Isaiah said this: "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion." The Lord categorically said to His people how they must not get themselves entangled with the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, the seeking for power, for position, for prominence is a snare to men, and men ought to be careful, because when they get into this lust, it will cause them to trip and fall. And the Lord warns His people. Isaiah 31, you would see a further note: "Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and to stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in the horsemen, because they are very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet He also is wise, and will bring evil, and will not call back His words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers, and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men, not God. They are horses and flesh, and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out His hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that help shall fall down, and they shall all fail together." How attractive is the world? And Abram understood that it was the will of God for him to not be enticed by the things of the world. And so you could see that there was the needful separation. And God said to him that this land would be promised to him. Now, when God gave him this promise, he will not realize this promise in his lifetime. In other words, when God leads us to walk with Him, we may not experience the life that we think we want to live, that the flesh would want us to have, to be satisfied, that kind of a life. You remember when Jesus told the story of Lazarus, the beggar, who ate from the crumbs of the rich man's table, how he did not have all the good things in this life. But the one thing that he had was that he was a follower of Jehovah God. He was a man of God who loved God. And despite all his outward suffering, when he died, he was brought to the bosom of Abraham in heaven. But you would notice also that the people of God. The people of God, when they die, Lazarus, he suffered much, but he was walking in the will of God. When he died, he went to heaven. The rich man, he had all that he wanted in this life, but none of God. So when he died, what happened? He went into hell. Dear friends, there is a separation between heaven and hell. And death will make that decision. Heaven or hell, where will you go? Well, through faith, Abraham looked for a city whose builder is God. That's what the Hebrew, the author of Hebrews tells us concerning this man Abraham. When he followed the instruction of God, God said, lift up your eyes and see. And he believed God. Although in his lifetime, he's not going to see the fulfillment of this promise that was given him. But he would, in his lifetime, stay in tents, lived in a most nomadic state of affairs. But God was with him. Dear friends, this is all that matters, that we walk in the center of God's will, that we walk with God, that we follow Him, that we seek Him. This was the life of Abram. You know, there are times when we can go astray. We can choose to do wrong. But because God loves us, He will chastise us. Abram was chastised, right? Pharaoh rightly embarrassed him to say to him, why did you lie concerning Sarah, your wife? And because God sent a plague upon Pharaoh's household, he realized that he has offended God by what he was doing in taking the sister of Abram. And straight away, he realized that it was wrong and he rebuked Abram. Abram was sorely rebuked, chastised, and therefore he left Egypt. He learned his lesson. So for the people of God, you realize that God is sovereignly in charge, taking care of us, knowing when we are wayward, He would chastise us to bring us back to Him so that we would follow Him. And so God is saying to Abram, now that he's back in Canaan, to look at the land. Now, he has just separated himself from Lot. Lot took all the lush piece of fertile estate, all that he could see, southward, right, all the way to Egypt, near Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah is near where the Dead Sea is. If you go to Israel, it's on the southern side, a southern tip, and beyond that you would be Egypt. And so Lot saw those lush plains, and he sees with his own eyes and said that this is life. This is life. But God helps us to see a different thing. Right? God gave to Abram to see his purpose, for a land that would be given him to be a witness for him. And he was to sojourn in the land. And he must be wondering, going all the way from plucking himself out of his comfort zone to go to a place that is totally out of the way, far away from everything. And yet, he trusted God. He knew it was the will of God for him. Dear friends, do you know the will of God for you? As you seek Him in prayer, in the study of His Word, God reveals to you what you ought to do, how you ought to live. And God instructed Abram. God said to him that this is your lot in life. So he lived to 175 years. Right? He's going to live there for another 100 years, and those times that he would be there, he would not, as it were, possess the land. But it was by faith that he took hold of the promises of God. What else did God promise him? For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And verse 16, the Lord said to him, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. God said to him that his descendants would be so numerous as the sand, as the dust of the earth. How could that be? You see, God had promised him a child, but until now, we have read in Genesis 11 verse 30 that Sarah was barren. She had no child. And age is catching up to him. How is it that Abram could trust God to walk with him patiently? Well, because he was a man of faith. And he was looking to a city whose foundation is God. In other words, Abram had a spiritual perspective of this life, and he sought to walk according to the ways of God. Hebrews 11 verse 10 says, for he looked for a city whose foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Therefore sprang there even one of him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the sea shore innumerable. God gave to him, promised to him this descendants. But he will not see it, verse 13 says, and these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims upon earth. Dear friends, the Lord says to you that if you would believe the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, and come to Him, when you die, you go to heaven. You will not face the judgment of God in hell forever. And God gives us His Word so that we may have wisdom to follow Him, to walk with Him, and God wants us to obey Him. And there are times when obeying God involves suffering. There is a cost involved in discipleship. Our Lord says to us, if thou would come after me, deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me. We are to deny ourselves. The self must be put to death daily. As one pastor says, you must have a funeral every day to the self that is crucified, and not let it affect you. This is the life of walking with God, the life of faith, the life that is heavenward, the life that trusts God, the life that is dependent upon God. And this is the life that the Lord wants us to live. And when God showed to Abraham the future, he believed God. He believed God. Jesus gave these words in John chapter 15. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciple. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Walking with God, lifting up your eyes to heaven and knowing the will of God and to do the will of God. This is what the Lord wants us to do. In our memory verse, we see our Lord Jesus Christ, who sets us the example of faith. Hebrews 12 verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, walking with God. Discipleship is costly. It's costly. It costs us ourselves. We have to deny ourselves. How difficult it is? Well, the Lord tells us how we need to yield to the Spirit and not yield to the flesh. And so this story begins with that separation between Lot and Abram. One who yields to the flesh, he goes his way, and one who yields to the Spirit, who walks with God in the ways of God. And you would see a great difference, because the land that Lot chose for himself, you would see that he will not possess it. God will rain soon, send fire and brimstone to destroy the entire land, because the land was wicked. The people were wicked. What is our perspective of life, of walking, living this life? Is it in the will of God, or is it in the fulfillment of the flesh? When God categorically teaches us to follow Him, to walk with Him, He instructed us that we be obedient to His commandments. And oftentimes it is quite contradictory to human sense. The Savior of the world, the one who makes all things and sustains all things, he would be whipped, he would be slapped, he would be crucified, and he would bleed, he would be shamed. Life with God, it cost us ourselves. It cost us our face. For Abram, that walk is a humble walk. We need to humble ourselves before God. That's the only way we can walk before Him in peace. That's the only way we can walk before Him to receive His grace. And so the Lord promised him a reward of the land and of innumerable descendants. And the Lord said to him in verse 17, "Arise and walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, and I will give it unto thee." When God gives us, we will possess it. We will not lose it. But when we take it ourselves, we will lose it. This, you will see a great contrast between Abram and Lot. Abram did not choose. He gives to his nephew Lot the first choice. You choose. If you go this way, I will go this way. I let you choose. Abram was not looking for an earthly gain. And we too must have an earthly, heavenly perspective of this earthly life, you see. If we look at it with a spiritual perspective, then we would learn to humble ourselves and walk with God. Although he had to live like a nomad, as a wanderer, no more in sealed houses, as he did when he was back home in the Earl of the Chaldees, nevertheless, it was a joyful journey with God. Right? Our Lord Jesus says, looking on that he, when he was accomplishing the Father's will, right, he set for the joy that was before him. He looked and he saw the end. He saw the reward. He saw the fruit. Endured the cross. Abram endured that life of self-denial, that life of walking with God. And the Lord gave him promises that he will not see in his lifetime. So if you are Abram, and God gives you such promises, would you be willing to suffer loss to walk with Him? Would you be willing to obey Him and see His promises fulfilled for you, which you may not be able to experience it in this lifetime, as we saw in the beggar Lazarus? All his life he had nothing. That life that he lived was such a pathetic life, so difficult. But God was with him. Those crumbs filled his stomach. When we have God with us, that's where we experience the fullness of life with Him. And this was what Abram was doing. This was the will of God for him. And God had promised to him by faith that if he would look to Him, this would be the result, the future And so the Lord said to him, arise and walk. So not only must we take hold of God and His word and His promises, but we must act upon it. God said to us when we begin this witness that we are to be a witness for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would go and invite men and women to come to church to receive the good news of the gospel, and that our reward would be great in the life to come. Can we understand what is that reward? Well, we may not be able to understand that reward in this lifetime. We may not see the fruit of our labor. But the Lord has said to us, go forth in faith. Trust Him. So Abraham was alone in a foreign land, a stranger, a pilgrim. But he was walking close to God. And he was walking in the center of the will of God. And that is all that matters for us, isn't it? Solomon says to us at the end of his life. You see, Solomon's life is a life that began well. God promised him great things. And halfway, somewhere in between and further up his life, he began to get entangled with sin. And at the end of his life, he awoke and he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And he gave this word to us. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole of men. This is the whole duty of men. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Fear God and keep His commandments. What was Abraham's understanding of the will of God? Well, he understood and know the living and true God. And this is He whom we must follow. Right? And the phrase there, fear God, means fear the God. The God. There is only one God. The living and true God. The Lord Jesus Christ. Fear Him, follow Him, walk with Him. And keep His commandments. Lord Jesus says, abide in me. And abide as I abide in you, and ye shall bear much fruit. And so the Lord tells us that we are to lift up our eyes with in faith to His will for us. And this is a message that I pray you would remember, that we would listen, be willing to listen to the voice of God, to lift up our hearts heavenward to Him, and to hear His instruction, and to seek His mind, and to receive His help. Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2. It says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Abram was asked by God to lift up his eyes. A very simple prayer posture, the lifting up of the eyes. A simple act. And yet, you would find that it is an act that means heaven and hell, life and death for the believer. Are you looking daily to God, lifting up your eyes toward heaven and seeking His help daily? If you would look up to Him and choose to follow Him and obey Him and walk according to what He has for you, although your environment, like Abraham, can be quite rough, can be quite hostile, can be quite, difficult, challenging, and yet you have God instructing you, you have God with you to guide you, you can be assured of His protection, of His presence with you. The psalmist says, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall smite thee by day, shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. This is the promise of the man who lift up his eyes to God, who seek God, who would not move until God gives him that instruction. So, the two thoughts for us, verse 14 and 15, waiting upon God. And from verse 14 to 16, and from verse 17 to 18, doing the will of God. Arise, walk through the land. When God gives the marching orders, when you know that it is the will of God, then with strength, you walk. So how can we have strength for daily life? Well, dear friends, do not neglect your time with God daily. Your devotional time. Your time to be spent reading the Bible. Yeah, we are now in August, end of August. Today is almost the last day of August. How have you been doing in your reading of the Bible? Read the Bible in 1 year. Right? We are at the end of August, September, October, November, December, and the year is ended. How have we fared? Have we been walking close to God, waiting upon Him, and listening to His marching orders before we would act? The infant church was asked to gather for prayer until the Spirit of God would come upon them to fill them and send them forth, waiting upon God, knowing His will, lifting up your eyes to God. This was what Abram did. He did not see the riches of Egypt, nor the comforts of Sodom or Gomorrah, of those lush plains. He did not set his heart, his sight on those things. But he set his heart, his sight upon the will of God. To follow Him, to walk with Him, to obey Him. And Genesis 13 verse 18 says, He removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. His life was a life of worship. Wherever he went, he worshipped God. Wherever he went, he seeked the will of God. He seeked the presence of God. He seeked the blessings of God. He seeked to know the purpose of God. And so when the Lord gives him the marching orders, arise, walk through the land, claim it, he arose and he walked, and it was his forever until today. Right, when Israel is gathered in the land again, where is their claim of ownership? Well, God has given it to them through Abraham. And this is the promise. And that is why you see on May the 14th, 1948, the resurrection of the land of the nation of Israel, modern Israel. How could it happen? A people dormant for 2,000 years. The promise of God to Abraham. This land shall be in the possession of your descendants. God's promise never failed. And it's better that we walk with God than to use our own wisdom and to seek for the things of this life which we will be disappointed. So we see the contrast in that separation between Abram and Lot. God seeks that we as his people would wait upon him to know his will and would arise and walk when he instructs us. The Spirit of God will show us, and this will be our life. We will not look at the surrounding. We will not succumb to all the pressure that would come to dislodge us from walking in the will of God. But we would be steadfast, obeying the Lord, walking with him. By his mercy, he will deliver us. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy grace. Strengthen us by thy mercy. Guide us to be like Abraham, to obey the voice of God as thou wouldst speak to us, that we may live in the center of thy will by faith, to claim our eternal inheritance. Lord, help us. Bless us with an understanding heart and a heart to obey and follow thee. O Lord, strengthen us. And indeed, we are thankful that thou hast given us thy good will. May we walk therein. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.